I've spoken to our old friend Johnny Jett over the years, and most recently on Fridays here on the radio. He is the proprietor of the wonderfully comprehensive travel site, JohnnyJett.com.
It is the best travel site on the internet.
And he's actually here in person. He travels zillions of miles every year, and rarely do we get to see him right here.
Anymore.
Look, hi, Johnny. How you
Hello.
Doing?
Hello, it's nice to be back in Chicago.
It's so nice to see you and to meet your lovely wife,
You know
Natalie.
What? We need to go back to the story of how you got going, because as I recall, Johnny, you did not like to travel as a young man, did you?
I used to be afraid to fly. Not only was I afraid to fly, I was afraid to leave the house at one point. And that was because when I was 16, I was diagnosed with asthma. And I talked my mom into going on this incredible trip. We never really traveled. I flew a handful of times growing up. It was always to like Florida or Georgia. And I talked my mom into this incredible trip to Australia. Crocodile Dundee was out then. My sister was living in Australia, which is a long story. She met some guy. Then my mom sent my other sister to go get her. And my other sister met another guy, Australian.
Oh, no.
So then I was like, this is our chance to bring him home.
Yeah, everybody.
So anyway, I go to the doctor's appointment before going on this big trip, which was all around the world, basically. And she's like, my God, you're going on a 27-hour flight? You might have a hard time breathing. You know, planes are pressurized. I'm like, what does that mean? So anyway, she put the fear of God in me, get to the airport, have a full-on anxiety attack. Mm. One of the worst days of my life, and I didn't get on the plane. And for 3 years, I was not only afraid to fly, afraid to leave the house.
Now, how old are you at this point?
Right now? Oh, no, then I was 16, 17, 17. Mm-hmm. It was my senior year of high school.
Mm-hmm. You must have felt horrible that you didn't make it to Australia.
Oh, my God. It was one of the biggest... It was one of the biggest disappointments of my life, because my mom passed away, a few years later, and she never got to go to Australia. Fortunately, I've been able to go many times now, but I've gotten over my fear.
Yeah, no. So what was the turning point? How did it change for you?
You know, there's a lot of stuff, but one thing is that I went to all kinds of doctors. My parents brought me to all kinds of shrinks. That did not work. Then they brought me to a homeopathic doctor, and this guy is like, you're on way too much medication. That's what's giving you the anxiety. So he started weaning me off a little bit. And then I finally got cured, by the way, of asthma by a Chinese doctor in Malaysia years later. But
wow.
I would not go to the mailbox without my inhaler. And now I don't even have my inhaler. I carry it in my carry-on just in case, but I never use it.
And how many years have you had the business and the site, JohnnyJett.com?
I started my newsletter in 1995, so 20 years.
So what made you then, I mean, did you spend all this time before 1995 in your newsletter thinking, I'm going to overcome this traveling thing and I'm going to actually make my life be about traveling? I mean,
I was always fascinated with travel. It just blew my mind away that you could go from freezing cold Connecticut, where I grew up, to hot and sunny Florida in 2.5 hours. And it still blows me away that we can travel so comfortably.
Yeah, we take it
pretty
for
much
right.
All mm-hmm. around the world. I mean, if my great grandparents knew I went to Hawaii for dinner, they wouldn't believe it. I mean, these guys that go across the country took months.
Right.
And some of them, you know, by the time they got there, they weren't even alive.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm always curious about this. When I follow you online, which I do, and I get all your mailings and all that stuff on JohnnyJett.com, which is an amazing site.
Thank you.
You're always, you have all these tips and you have all these stories and you're in all these places. So for a living now, you travel to these places so that you can write about them. And then how do you make money?
It was never to make money. It was always just about to share. I know what it's like to have a fear. And as corny as it sounds, I truly believe the more people travel and see the world, there will be less prejudices and less wars and fights and everything.
Yeah, you become educated.
I mean, I used to have all these stereotypes. And I've gone all over the world. And I've realized that people are people all over the world. For the most part, they're very good people. There's just a small percentage of bad people. And it kind of ruins it. And the media here in the U.S., they pick up on the bad stuff. So, I was so afraid to go to Malaysia, Israel, you name it.
Mm-hmm. And so then now, how do you make a living going to all these places and getting your story out there?
So I make a living by, I have a newsletter, I have advertisers, sponsors. So I just build up a following. You know, it was never to make money. I was just trying to share information. Next thing I know, people are emailing me saying, hey, can I get on your newsletter subscription list? Or can you sign me up? And I was like, sure. I was just sending out a little blast to my friends when I worked with. And this thing, it just kept growing and growing. And then people started saying, hey, can you come here and check out my country or my airline, my hotel? And I would be very honest in my reviews. If something was not good, I would say it. And I'd have PR people call me up saying, hey, you can't say that our airline has bad food. We just gave you a ticket. I'm like, I'm not going to lie. So the big thing is I tell the truth. So no matter who's paying, I'm going
to
say.
And do you say that to them up front?
They know.
You,
now they know.
Now they know.
I think back
that
then
must have
they
been hard, you know, to say, I mean, the first few times to give a bad review.
I didn't know any better. You know, I was just telling the truth. I think they didn't realize there was this unwritten code where, you know, you're supposed to say something good, but I'm not going to say something good if it's not good.
You were early, weren't you? Because now there are so many sites that critique travel and restaurants and everything else. But you were kind of ahead of the game, weren't you?
I got very fortunate. I graduated from college in 1995. I started it right then. You know, I used to go to conferences and TripAdvisor would have a small table. The founder of TripAdvisor, who's now a billionaire, would be behind this table. And I definitely could have, you know, partnered up with him and I'd be just be counting my money right now.
Right.
But I mean, I started site. Before all these guys.
Yeah.
So.
And what is TripAdvisor? How is TripAdvisor different from what you do? I mean,
that's all user generated reviews. That's how they did it. They were just like, you know, if you stay at this hotel, write about it. It's pretty ingenious. But, you know, the problem is that you don't know who to trust. So you can't really trust TripAdvisor completely.
Right. You don't know, because that's what happens to me. I have written a review for them and then I know what I liked and I know what my experience was. But then you when I'm reading them, I'm not sure.
You don't know who the person is. You don't know if they're working there or they used to work there. Or they're disgruntled.
Exactly.
Or they're just trying to sell the place.
And this is why you continue to go to all these places for us and you stay and we know.
Because I'm not going to lie. I'm going to tell the truth. And plus, I share all my personal details, so people can, get to know me, what I'm like, see if we have similarities.
JohnnyJett.com is the site we're talking about. And Johnny's here, and we'll take advantage of your truth telling, ask you a few questions about some travel deals. And I want to talk to you about this survey about the nicest flight attendants. I want to get your take on this. Doing a little traveling vicariously, thanks to Johnny Jett and his site, JohnnyJett.com. Marianne was just talking to me, Johnny, about some Groupon deal she became aware of, a trip to Greece for an amazingly low sum of money, wasn't it?
$6.99 for, I think it was like 9 nights, including airfare.
You like those Groupon deals?
That's cheaper than staying home.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's cheaper than staying home.
Yeah.
I think it was 7 days for $6.99, including airfare.
That's insane. So with these deals, I mean, Groupon, you know, they should be legitimate. You just have to make sure you read the fine print very carefully with these guys. That's only the complaints I've ever heard, because sometimes, you know, it depends on, how, you know, limited availability. A lot of people wait till the last week to redeem them, and by then everything's booked, so you can't do it. So I would look at the deal and find out if it's good or not. And I'm sure it's in the off season. It's got to be in December.
Yeah.
The first week of December or something.
Or like January, February, and March.
Okay. Well, hey, you know, it's low season in those places. That's why they can do it. There's not a lot of people traveling there, but that's insane. Literally, it's cheaper to go there.
But then
deal.
Don't you want to go when it's nice and warm instead?
It's a trade off. You'll go there in the summertime. It'll be completely packed and it will cost you 10 times the amount of money.
Okay, too late for good summer deals out of Chicago?
It's never too late. I mean, you just have to follow the right people, sign up to all the newsletters. That's what I do. I mean, I sign up to all the airlines, the hotels, car rentals,
so
cruises.
You were talking about this last time you were on with us, and you said, in fact, there's like a really incredible deal for $200-something to Brazil right now. And then when I got home, I looked it up and they were all
gone.
Like, it was gone. They were all back up to like $600-something. But how is it if you don't want, I already get so much email that it takes me like a couple of hours just to get through it every morning.
Right. Well, that's.
So is there one place or two places maybe where I can just find out what I want someone to say, these are the deals that you should cash in on today.
Right. Well, that's how I stay in business, by the way, because I sign up to all that stuff. My inbox is flooded, and then I try and weed out the bad deals.
And then do you post on a daily basis?
I don't post on it. I actually have a deal section on my news on my website. If you just hit deals, you'll see all the different deals, and they're updated, you know,
constantly.
Automatically. But for the newsletter, I send out when I find really good deals. But there's some sites you can go to as well. So theflightdeal.com is one of them. Airfare Watchdog is another one. The Points Guy. There's a bunch of them.
Let me ask you about this recent poll. It found major airlines ranked poorly in flight attendant congeniality. The airfare Watchdog.com survey of 2,800 travelers showed 25% said Virgin America had the nicest flight attendants, followed by Hawaiian Airlines and Southwest Airlines. Among the dozen airlines in the poll, U.S. Airways, American, and United ranked last, each garnering just 1% of the vote. Delta was slightly higher at 3%. What are the results of your survey on this, Johnny?
Well, I'm not surprised. I actually agree with that wholeheartedly, but the nicest flight attendant I ever had in my life was on Delta Airlines, which is surprising. I mean, you know, with the old carriers like, you know, United, American, and Delta, it's usually a lot of seniority. These people have been working there forever. All their benefits have been cut back. They used to have long layovers, used to be glamorous. Now they're flying for very, you know, some of these flight attendants make $17,000 a year.
And they're sick of us making their life miserable in many cases. They're rude passengers all the time.
So I feel like it's what you give back. So when I get on the plane, I give a big smile, say, how you doing? I usually bring three boxes of chocolates, one for the gate agents, one for the flight attendants, and one for myself.
That is a great tip.
That is just such a nice thing. Yep. Even today, you walked in here. You have Garrett's popcorn for us. Your lunch. You're leaving us your lunch.
You will.
It's so nice.
What you put out, you'll get back.
Yeah, for an investment of a few bucks, you might get upgraded. A lot of good things could happen, right?
Do they ever look at you strangely, the gate person, and say, really? Like, this is for me? Like, what? It's, you know... I don't know.
They sit there and they're like, thank you so much. Especially the flight attendants. They're usually like, oh my God. Because they're so used to just being kicked and, you know, people yelling at them.
Do they know you, though? Do they just think you're just any passenger?
They have no idea. Some very rarely do I run into flight attendants that, you know me. But
do passengers do this? I mean, is this like a common thing?
I've been spreading that for a long time. I've been telling people, you know what? Give out some chocolates. Bring chocolates. Bring gifts. They love it. I see it all the time on planes where, you know, people who work for businesses, they'll give them shirts or whatever their product is, and they love it.
Well, I remember one time actually going back and giving a ticket agent, I think it was like $40 or something in cash, just because she moved heaven and earth to get, I had missed my flight, forgot my passport or something, held my place or got me on another flight. I don't know what it was, but I was so grateful, and I felt like $40, that's not enough.
Right.
Like, you know, she really changed my entire vacation.
You just got to be nice to them. I mean, they love it. Just they like when people are nice to them. And
someone who flies as much as you, I'm sure, has some tips on how to be jet lagged. There was a thing in the paper the other day about what to do before the trip and what to do during. What's your big tip for feeling good after a long flight?
So some of my friends call me Johnny Jetlag. But so what I do, everyone's different. So before I live in Los Angeles, so before I go to New York or if I'm going to Europe, I try and go to bed a few hours early than I normally do. And I also take, if I'm flying to New York, I'll get on the first flight out, 6 a.m. And people are like, 6 a.m.? But if you think about it, it's really 9 a.m. on the East Coast. So you automatically... I get adjusted. So, and to Europe, or what if I land in Australia or Asia, you know, usually you land early in the morning. The worst thing you can do is go to sleep for the whole day, which everyone wants to do. So what I'll do is I'll take a short nap. Don't ever go underneath the covers. I just sleep on top of the bed. Or I'll set an alarm, or if it's sunny out or nice out, I'll go outside and sleep on a bench for 10 minutes.
But don't you just sleep on the airplane instead? I cannot sleep on
it. It all depends. Sometimes I have work to do. I'll work on the plane, or, you know, sometimes it's difficult to sleep on the plane.
But the key is light, right?
It's sunlight. So if it's sunny out, you go for a walk, you know, and try and stay up as long as you can. So I try to stay up to 10, 11 o'clock at night.
Okay. And real quickly, you have brought your beautiful wife, Natalie, along. And so you began doing this before you were married, and now you're married to a woman who actually has a job, right? Is it still in Canada or in LA?
Is her microphone live?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm Toronto based, and John and I have been in the ultimate commuter marriage for the past
how do you guys
and a half
do that?
Years. Just that. I mean,
how many years have you been married?
We've been married for almost 3.
But basically, you've been together 6 months, right? Is that how it works?
We've been together for 8 years, and we met on a press trip. She works for a big magazine.
Yeah, I work for a magazine in Toronto, so I travel for work as well.
And does absence really make the heart grow fonder?
It sure does. I mean, I have to say, I feel like we've got it figured out, and I'm you know, we're planning to eventually live together, but I'm a little worried about it.
we never fight. I mean, we very rarely fight.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Marianne,
well,
you know what? Well, why don't we do the show together once every couple of months?
Or why don't we just do the show together and then we'll go to separate houses? That way you can have your own bathroom, Bob.
You know, right. I mean, as soon as you've had just enough of each other, it's time to say goodbye.
All right. What's good on JohnnyJet.com at the moment that we might be interested
in? For deals,
in?
I'm just looking right now. There's a deal on Emirates from Chicago. You can go to the Maldives for $1,000, which is pretty good. But there's a cruise right now on my website for $499 for a 7-night Caribbean cruise on Norwegian.
You're kidding.
I mean, that's a really good deal.
That is cheaper. It is cheaper to do that than to stay at home.
It is. And cruises are...
Including airfare?
Cruises
no,
are incredible value.
Okay. I mean,
so. JohnnyJet.com for all of that. Good to see Mr. and Mrs. Johnny Jet here today in the flesh. And we'll talk to you next week from locations unknown.
That's right.
Thank you,
Johnny.
Thank you. Good to have you in our city.